It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten, talking one of our favorite subjects. Well, actually, I think it is Damon's favorite subject, but Laker hockey, we've got Nipissing University coming to town this weekend, and we don't really know that much about them, but what a great opportunity to have an exhibition series early in the season, Damon, and you can play a lot of different guys. You can try some goaltending out and maybe some systems work, and it's just a good time to play this series.
Yeah, it is, and it's as you mentioned, it's a real focus on who we are and what we want to be. Obviously, you know, as the game progresses, you'll want to make some adjustments as needed and look at the things they're doing. But for the most part, we're going to concentrate on who we are and what we want to be doing out there. And we've got work to do. I mean, it was a good start, obviously, but with very limited hours, we've got a lot of areas we want to clean up and make some tweaks and adjustments to. I think we still have some things we can, you know, going into WCHA play, we'll put a few different wrinkles in. But we'll really use this week to tweak a couple things, clean up some areas, and really just get our basic structure in place. Again, real limited time on things like offensive zone faceoffs. We just have not had the time to spend much time there. D zone wins, same thing. You know, those are those situations where you get to run some set plays. I thought off our neutral zone faceoff losses on Saturday, we were not overly sharp, and we made an adjustment Sunday morning. Showed that was able to kind of teach our guys what the expectation is, and we went out and adjusted. Did a pretty good job on Sunday on that. So, some real positives, some areas that we liked and got on film to show our guys. We'll continue that teaching here later this afternoon and maybe even a touch tomorrow on game day in terms of penalty kill. But just look at who we want to be and really stress our identity and being hard to play against.
Yeah, I gave you an opportunity out at Merrimack, a couple of wins on the weekend, 5-4 in a game that was rather strange, really, because all the goals were special teams for the Lakers. 3 power play goals, a shorthanded goal, and a penalty shot goal. That's pretty much covers the gamut of special teams right there. And then a 1-0 win on Sunday, a Max Humitz goal. He had 2 on the weekend, so did Diego Cuglietta. Good start for those guys.
Yeah, and I can't remember a game that I've been involved with that every goal you scored was a special team situation, and maybe it's happened once or twice over the last handful of years or many years, but it was good. I mean, our power play, watching it, I thought after the game, I didn't think we had a lot of zone time and setup, and then you watch the goals back, and they did come off some set plays and some structure pieces there, and Diego did a really good job net front on both goals. The rebound goal, he was right there taking away eyes and got a second chance opportunity. And then a second power play goal was a high tip off both Jake Nordquist made good plays on both of them to get pucks to the net. And Pete Viet also got assists on those. So he did a good job settling pucks down and making a smart decision to move it over to Jacob, who was open and made the plays there. So it was good to have power play success early on there. The last few years, we've been unbelievable to start the season. I think we led the country and, just ridiculous numbers on the power play early on. So we'll do that again this year with that good start. But now we have to sustain it. As teams adjust and scout you and try to take away your strengths, we're going to have to do a better job adjusting as coaches and making some tweaks and maybe even personnel changes, even though we're done a good job. So that'll be the secret to keep that up to date there. And as much as that game with the 9 goals, we came back Sunday a much different feel, really a much tighter checking affair. I thought in the neutral zone we did an outstanding job. Again, we've adjusted what we look like through the neutral zone and the way we're playing and making guys come through us a little bit more and being a little bit more compact. Not only was it good through the neutral zone, but when we forced dumps from Merrimack, we were real tight support. We could win foot races back to retrieve pucks, had good short support to make a bump or a first pass and get out of our zone. And Scott Borick kind of talked about it after the game Saturday. They thought they had a hard time establishing a forecheck. So I thought even though it's early and we can be better coming out of our zone, it wasn't a bad start there in terms of our breakout structure and the way we want to be exiting our zone quickly. So we'll keep really stressing those areas. But as you mentioned, a real good start to go on the road into a hockey East building, a tough building to play in, and win 2 games is exactly the start you want.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a small building, too, a little bit smaller ice surface, perhaps. A lot more like Ferris State than any other facility that I've been in recently. And, tight quarters where it was particularly difficult. I talked to a couple of the freshmen after the series on the way home. And that's what they said was we're looking forward to playing at home and maybe playing in some other facilities where there's a little more room to move, because that was kind of tough.
Yeah, it is. And I credit to the freshmen coming in. You know, you're stepping out of junior hockey, playing against bigger, older, stronger guys. And there's already a quicker pace to the game because you're up a level in talent and skill and things like that. But when you do it on that sheet like that, it is a really tough game to jump into when you really feel like you don't have much time or space. It just, you never get comfortable, you know. And that was, you know, Coach Borick talked about it. They wanted to be the hardest team in the country to play against. So they come and they finish their checks, and they got a little chippiness to them. So I definitely don't think it was the easiest first game to jump into, but I like the way those guys played, who had the opportunity in terms of the freshmen, and most of our guys did a good job that way. And like they said, I think it'll be good to get home this weekend and you know, have a little bit more offensive zone possession, a little bit more structure to what we want to do offensively. I think that'll help us out. But the other flip side of that with Merrimack, you know, we're going to see a lot of teams that surround and outnumber in their D zone coverage. And so it's really good to get used to that limited time and space in terms of the way you have to move pucks and go east-west and go low to high right away. So I think that'll set us up for future success.
Well, and Merrimack made some changes, too. Lakers go 3-for-4 on the power play in the Saturday game and 0-for-4 on Sunday, and I think only generated one shot and four chances. So they did some things differently. They adjust. That's what teams do. And they look at film, and they offset something that the Lakers were trying to do. So now you got to go back to the drawing board, look at film. Okay, what did they do in Game 2 that they didn't do in Game 1? How did we have success and then not have so much success? So you can improve.
Yeah, no, and I think the biggest thing they did, they just came at you like crazy. They sent 2-3 guys pressure, and we didn't handle it great. And again, there's not a lot of space to handle it, but you know, I think we do a better job. And you know, one of our clean face-off wins went back to our D-man. He had an easy option to release pressure and beat their first forechecker, but he tried to beat him one-on-one. So it felt like we were chasing it most of the night. I know with my power play group, we changed our breakout, even though we had a lot of success on Saturday night. So maybe a little bit of overcoaching there, thinking they're going to have some counters and do that. But we'll be fine. We didn't have as much time there, and it generated a couple decent looks, but really it was just handling the pressure they sent at us. And again, that's good. You know, most teams these days are pressuring. Occasionally you'll get a team that sits back, and you know, we'll have that pre-scouted in the future and have a better feel what we're going into. But again, our guys, you know, executed well on that Saturday night, so give them a lot of credit that they could show up and with very few reps. Certainly power play breakout, we spent very little time doing that. But on Saturday in particular, we came up the ice really clean and then gained zones and were able to set up.
Yeah, and they did make, you're right, I think they played much more physically. A lot of times when you win face-offs, it's because your support people grab that puck and then you've got it. What they did is they tied everybody up on Sunday. Diego, who had gone 23 or 24 and 7 on Saturday, goes 15 and 14 in the face-off circle on Sunday. So they got a little bit better at making sure they were covering our guys and loose pucks weren't there.
Yeah, a little more jump there. You know, and I thought, you know, those of you who follow it closely enough, one of the, you know, they're looking at face-off encroachment again this year. They want to clean that up. So we spent a little bit of time, you know, talking about the importance of that. And then I didn't think it was enforced on the weekend. And so, you know, you just have to adjust. If they're not calling it, I think number 4 for them, I mean, every face-off he would cheat, and he got thrown out a handful of times. But you have to adjust, both as a coach and as a player. If they're not going to enforce the encroachment, the rules like they intend to, then you have to match that and match that intensity. But, you know, I think we were 58 or 57% on Saturday in faceoffs. We dropped to 54% on Sunday, which is one short of our goal of being 55 or better. So still a strong night, but you're right. A lot of times it's the wingers and the second effort winning those puck battles. And I know a couple too, you know, it was funny meeting with Brendan McKay. We were talking about his faceoffs, and he was out on the penalty kill for a couple, either in the neutral zone or offensive zone. Sometimes those, you're shooting them those forward as well. So there's a few like that both ways where, you know, an intentional loss, you're trying to surprise them or just make them retreat back and break out cleanly. But again, overall, I thought it was a strong night. And Diego on Saturday was out. I mean, I'm not sure I remember a performance in my, you know, nearly 20 years in college hockey of a guy going 23-7, 24-7, whatever it was. It was unbelievable. And if he can do that, you know, more often than not, it's going to be really good for our puck possession and our offensive game.
No, he's off to a great start, and he's one of our very intense players. He's a senior now. He wants to play at his very best. I thought he had a great weekend. He had 2 goals. He won all those faceoffs. And, you know, the last guy we had who we could really count on in the faceoff circle was Kellen Lane a few years back. He very rarely lost a faceoff, and I can still see him. He was a big guy. And he would practice that so much. He would stay after practice on the ice and work on faceoffs. And yeah, that's how you
do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, any skill, you have to do some repetition and then try different ways. And when it's not working, change it up. And I mean, I think Owen Guy is another guy to mention. The first night he might have been under 500. He really had a tough night. And, you know, he's kind of, as a freshman, put in a line with Nellis and Terrell with the injury to Hampus and took a lot of key draws against an upperclassman. Struggled on Saturday. Then it came back, was like 12-7 or something like that on Sunday. So a real student of the game there. But obviously, we spend some time. Now that we're into our season, we'll get a little bit more time to drop with our centers and guys who take face-offs. And a little added benefit, we get a guy who played 10 years in the NHL taking draws, you know. So Mike York went against some of the best face-off guys in the history of the NHL. So he's got some good insights and works closely with our centers on being elite in that area.
All righty, we're going to take a break on Laker Hockey Talk. You are listening to Laker Hockey Talk. We're on ESPN 1400. We'll be right back after this.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
Hi. This is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. We're on ESPN 1400 this morning. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Witten. We're talking about the Lakers and the series this past weekend, a pair of wins at Merrimack. And, you know, it really doesn't matter. You open your season, you're on the road. It's a tough place to play. You're playing against a team that really is not very offensive. They only returned 28 goals to their lineup this year. And by comparison, the Lakers, who don't score a lot, brought back 57 goals. So we have most of our leading scorers back, and they don't. And we took advantage of that, I thought, and we win two games. Now we got to play Nipissing University, a Canadian university program, and we don't really know anything about them. And we're looking at this as being an experience-type weekend. But the really good thing about this series this weekend is it gives our fans a chance to come out, see the team play. We've got some special rates on tickets, et cetera, and get familiar with some of our freshmen and how the lines look and get ready for the season.
Yeah, just good to generate some excitement. Obviously, you know, we got a bye week, then hit the road, and then Michigan coming in. So it's going to be a little bit of a slow feel to getting the season started at home because of those road trips, the bye week. So certainly come on out. I think it's going to be an exciting weekend of hockey. The one thing, you know, when you look at Canadian universities, I think they won four or five games on Saturday night. So it was, a little bit eye-opening. And then they've played a handful of games already. So they're a little bit ahead of you in terms of game conditioning and organizational structure because they don't have the same rules that limit how much they can coach and be on the ice. So they'll be a little bit more game-ready than us. Although, you know, coming off from Merrimack, we should be fine at this point or, you know, solidly along in our path of development. So, but like you said, it's a chance to look at some new guys. You know, I'm excited to see Pete Viette on our sheet where he can really utilize his speed. Ashton Calder to be able to have a little bit more space and time this weekend as well and a little bit better matchup in terms of we can control who they're going against and getting favorable matchups for our guys. You know, Jacob Nordquist had an outstanding opening weekend. So those are all guys. You know, I think Roman Banger is our intent is to get Roman in at some point this weekend. So a chance to see Roman for the first time in a Laker uniform. So it'll be exciting and then see the steps of guys as well. You know, you mentioned Diego had a great start. Max Humitz off to a good start. You know, I thought Will Rydell was outstanding all weekend long. Steven Ruggiero battled some injuries last year, so he's playing at a higher level now that he's healthy. Same thing with Colin Sockman and Lucas Kybel. You know, these guys had the summer to heal, to get stronger, and it's just nice to see where they're at development wise, the steps they've taken, and for the most part, guys look good. You know, Chase Gallen had an outstanding weekend playing with Alex Ambrosio and Brian Basilico. We still will continue to work with some chemistry and some line pairings. D pairings have been fairly solid, but those can change at a moment's notice. So there's a lot to be ironed out, a lot of roles to be kind of grabbed and deciphered, and it'll be an exciting weekend of hockey.
Yeah, it's typical college hockey start to the season. You quite often will see lines change a lot. You'll see guys playing in the second half together that were nowhere near each other in the first half. That happens sometimes. I thought the line, though, especially on Saturday, but all weekend long, Diego's line with Gelsinger on the one side and Humitz on the other, they looks like they might stay together. They're pretty good. And then the line that has Gage on one side and Nelly on the other, that's a pretty decent line, too, with the young guy at center ice with Owen Guy.
Yeah, and again, that was, you know, Hampus early on, that line was outstanding, and we kind of had those two lines, you know, and someone, you know, you as a coach, you never say it's my first line, second line, third line, you know, right. you play. I mean, in the way the game's played today with pace, everybody has to be ready to play and chip in because the minutes are so hard, and the game demands so much of you. But certainly when you look at experience-wise and track records, career points, things like that, that top line of Diego or one of those top two lines, top three lines, and then the Hampus, Nellis, Erickson, the Hampus line with Nellis and Terrell were really, really good early on. And so, when Hampus comes back, my guess is we'll look at moving him back in there. And then we've got a decision to make going on the road in the WCHA. Can we afford to have mostly junior seniors on those lines, and get a little bit young, a little bit inexperienced on the next lines? And, you know, right now that's still a work in progress. Now, the way Ambrosio, Basilico, and Gamlin played, you know, we feel good. They went on the road, did a good job, whether matched up against their first line or their fourth line, gave us a lot of good quality minutes. And there was really no point in the game that the Calder line with Muka and Viet looked out of place either. They gave up the game's first goal with a little bit of a broken assignment, but that's more just a teaching habit versus a lack of strength or ability or things like that. So there's some depth we haven't had. We talked about Yuki being ready to go this weekend. We'll see Yuki back in and he'll compete. Melvin Carlson has done some really good things in practice, so he'll get a chance to go. And just a real competitive situation, which as a coach you love, can make it really challenging and making decisions or handling the locker room at times. But that's ultimately what you really push for is when you go on the road recruiting, you have to find guys who can come in and upgrade you and make you better. And, you know, we tell guys that, you know, like as good as Diego is or as good as Hampus is, whoever it might be, like we're out there trying to find a better hockey player than you. So you've got to push yourself. You've got to keep driving because that's the only way we're going to get to where we want to be with a WCHA championship.
Yeah, a lot of questions, especially at the hockey show earlier this week, but questions on Yuki Miura, why he didn't make the trip, and questions on Erickson and why he didn't make the trip. Well, Erickson's a little bit banged up, and he's going to be back pretty quickly, and he'd be a major part of this program if he were healthy right now. So don't worry about that too much. It's early in the season, and I think we've got some other things to take care of here. You get a week off coming up, but you can use that however you guys see fit as a coaching staff. You could use it as a chance to go do some recruiting. You could use it as a chance to do some extra teaching, etc. But kind of strange there. You get a week off, and then you're going to go and open WCHA play down at Huntsville. Not an easy trip, but a team we can play with.
Yeah, it's almost backwards than everybody else in the country that might go, you know, that we're off for maybe one game in the Canadian University. So we're doing it backwards, but we like the thought of it where, you know, we went out. Obviously, when you win, that helps, but now we can really dig in, do a lot of teaching. We've kind of lost a day with the Saturday-Sunday start due to the NCAA start date. But again, it's been a heavy focus of teaching this week, and then next week again, you know, we'll get a lot of time, skill development, one-on-one time with our team and really try to take advantage of that. Really, really feel like going into UAH that we should have our structure fairly firmly in place. Guys have a pretty good feel for their roles and, just looking to get better day by day. And as you mentioned then, you know, it'll also be a chance to get on the road. You have to take advantage of your bye weeks. There's not a lot of opportunities. I'll get to get out and whether it's see our own committed players or go evaluate a couple guys that we just saw through the showcase season. But we'll have a couple coaches on the road looking to get some evaluation done and maybe try to lock up a scholarship offer or two as well. So we'll try to be very productive in that week, and then look to go down and then get off to a strong WCHA start.
Yeah, what is the goal right now this season for trying to bring players in for the future? You're going to lose some pretty good hockey players to graduation here, and you're going to have to replace them. Now, obviously, you've got people in your lineup now you think can step up and they'll replace them, but you're going to find some pretty good freshmen too.
Yeah, no, you hit it kind of accurately. You know, there's guys in our room and on the ice. This weekend. And waiting to get on the ice, that will be part of that. You know, you're not going to bring a freshman in and replace seniors like the seniors we have. That takes time, it takes experience. So we'll need guys to continue to develop and emerge as they've done so far. So we'll look inwards for a lot of that to replace a guy like those guys who are so valuable. But certainly we've got some 20-year-olds out there playing that'll be their time to come in, make some decisions on the guys that aren't quite 20 and see where they're at, and still looking to see who's out there. If there's some guys out there that, we don't have much room, but if you can get better, you want to seriously look at opportunities to get better. If it's a guy who's currently uncommitted or becomes available in today's world with the over committing and oversigning stuff that goes on. We're looking at all sides of it. Certainly there's some that gets a little bit more specific when you look at our seniors being three forwards and a goaltender. That's kind of the main focus on paper. We don't have any defensemen that move on, so we don't have a big need back there. But if guys play well, and when there's a couple NHL guys in the building this weekend, and they're grabbing our guys and having conversations, so we want to be more prepared than last time when we lost the sophomore Mitch Holtz and the freshman Chris Bendulis to NHL contracts. So it's a constant evaluation and seeing where your own guys are at, but also making sure you know the talent pool and who's available. And it's easy to watch box scores and watch on online, but it's nice to be in the building and shake a kid hand and look him in the eyes and get a real feel for the way he'd fit into your locker room.
Well, you got a week off, and then you go to Huntsville to play a couple of games. Come home, and we've got 2 weeks in a row at home. So the schedule's a heck of a lot better than it was last year. I think fans last year were really disappointed in our schedule. We didn't play at home at all in the month of February. We were done. We had senior night late in January last year, you might recall. And also, we're gone an awful lot during the season. Now, the tough time this season is going to be at the end of December and into the first part of January, where you make two trips to Alaska, first to Fairbanks and then to Anchorage. That's going to be really tough. But the rest of it is not bad. A lot of home and away stuff in there. And we do come home. We play Michigan November 2nd and 3rd, and then we've got a series with Alaska here the next weekend. So we're going to be at home a little bit.
Yeah, and that, as we talked about just moments ago, Bill, like that's part of looking at that whole evolution of your schedule and liking this, to get to Boston and to bond a little bit and to go through some adversity and play in a tough building. That's a positive thing, and to come back and teach and get to play everybody and really give some guys some opportunities that if we didn't have this weekend series, they might not get a look because we don't have exhibition in college hockey. So we like that part of it. It'll be interesting going into the bye week. I think we're gonna, or the off weekend, I think we have to be a little bit careful of letting some boredom set in or over pushing our guys through that. So we're looking carefully at how we're going to schedule a day off or two or something a little bit non-traditional that way. But then again, to get back on the bus, get on the road again, bond again, get into WCHA play. And then obviously everybody's had that Michigan series highlighted. As much as you don't look ahead, everybody's well aware of Great Lakes State weekend and the University of Michigan coming up with a strong team coming off a Frozen Four appearance. So that'll be a real highlight there and kind of get us through that first segment of games. Through there, we'll evaluate a few things and talk to some guys individually and maybe reassign some roles. But that'll be our first segment, and we want to come through strong on that.
All righty, that's all the time we've got for on Laker Hockey Talk this morning. Doesn't take long to get in, 25 minutes. So we are on every Thursday morning at 8:30, usually on ESPN 1400, although we've had some technical difficulties with that station this week, so we may be on WSO even today. But one way or the other, we'll have another show for you next week. It's always podcast. You can listen to it at your leisure after that by checking the Sovereign Communications podcast line. And until next week, Bill Crawford for Damon Witt, and don't forget, Laker Hockey at home this weekend. You can still get tickets online at only $3.50 for the series with Nipissing, and then we go on the road after a week off. And that takes care of the show. Bill Crawford for Damon Witten. So long till next Thursday morning on Laker Hockey Talk.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.